Welcome to Middle Ground Radio with Pastor Nate Gallagher. We are currently taking a simple look at the conversations Jesus had around the table in this series, Seat at the Table. Here is Pastor Nate with today's message.
Luke chapter 19 is where we'll be this morning. There's a really interesting theme in the Gospel of Luke, if you sort of follow through it. And it seems like Jesus is eating a lot of meals in the Gospel of Luke. One commentator would write and say that in Luke's gospel, Jesus is either leaving a meal, at a meal, or headed to a meal through the gospel of Luke. That he's literally eating his way through the gospel. I don't know about you, but I love that idea. I like to eat, and if I can practice the way of Jesus and have food, it sounds like a win-win in my book. But the interesting thing about it, what makes it so unique, is that over these meals around the table, Jesus is having very powerful conversations with people that gives people perspective and insight into who God is and the plans that he has for them, and they can experience the kingdom of God in their life. And so many powerful verses come from the dinner table. The most famous, John 3:16, happens late at night at somebody's house. Jesus is over there, a guest. Get that verse. Wasn't preaching, wasn't in front of a multitude, one-on-one, having a conversation, probably having snacks, and talking about life and relationship with God. And I think it's interesting for us to look at that, but then also important for us to see it because it shows us the lengths that Jesus is willing to go in order to reach one person. There's a really interesting story. It's Pastor Jim's favorite story. We know the crazy naked demon is way into almost every Bible study. Pastor Jim's teaching, his name's Legion. But the story is unique because Jesus, we're told, crosses over to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. He gets there. He has the interaction with Legion. Legion's life has changed, and then he gets back in the boat and goes to the other side. So Jesus literally crosses the lake to meet one guy and then leaves. And over, you see Jesus' heart for the individual, for one person. And so often these things happen around the table where Jesus is showing people and living out the kingdom of God really as on earth as it is in heaven. And this morning, what I would like to look at is a relatively famous story of Jesus and a guy, a wealthy tax collector named Zacchaeus. And what we see is although Zacchaeus had lots of stuff, lots of influence, he seems to be lonely. And I'm going to talk about this idea this morning. And I've titled this message, if you take notes, The Cure to Loneliness. The Cure to Loneliness is where we're going to be. Luke chapter 19, beginning in verse 1, it says this: Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And Zacchaeus sought to see who Jesus was, but he could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. There's that idea of hospitality. They're going to go back to Zacchaeus' house. So he made haste. Zacchaeus came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, that is the crowd, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half my goods to the poor, and if I've taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today, salvation has come to this house, because he is also the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. I read on Forbes.com titled, Why Millennials Are Lonely. And it would talk about how loneliness seems to be contagious, that this idea that lonely people seem to produce more lonely people. And it also talks about how it's contagious and how social media or virtual interactions that mimic real interactions causes more loneliness. We can understand that, right? Like we have a zillion Facebook friends or a bunch of followers. It's like life is great and you're caught up in that and you're like, this is wonderful. And then you like zoom out for a second and you realize like you're alone on your couch looking at a little rectangle and you're like, huh, this isn't that exciting, I guess. Like we get that, and it mimics real interactions. And so for a moment, it seems like, you know, we're getting the social stimulation we need, but then there's that lack. It would talk about this. This article would say, quote, "We're getting lonelier. The general found that the number of Americans with no close friends has tripled since 1985. Zero is the most common number of confidants reported by almost a quarter of those surveyed. Likewise, the average number of people Americans feel they can talk to about important matters has fallen from 3 to 2. So this idea, it says, we're getting lonelier. People are getting lonelier. We don't have any close confidants. And interesting, we have like maybe one or two important things, much less the actual things that are going on in our life, but what we feel like are important, maybe big news headlines or different situations, like maybe a couple people that we can connect and talk with about those things. But for many of us, it seems like nobody that we can talk about what's actually going on in us and around us and in our life. And this idea of loneliness, and it isn't just true of millennials, it's true of probably most people. This is just since survey that they found. But this idea of loneliness, people have experienced and do experience loneliness. No one to talk to, no one to share life with, and even with thousands of Facebook friends, we still feel alone. We go out in public, we're around people. Maybe you're here this morning and you're around a bunch of people, and yet you seem alone, lonely. Nobody sees you, no one notices you. It's in and out, and it's very lonely. It seems to be the case for our character Zacchaeus in this story. Now, he was a wealthy tax collector, and a tax collector in their day and age was somebody that would have been wealthy, and they made their money. They were Jewish, but they made their money by working for the Roman government after Rome occupied them, the nation of Israel. They worked for the Roman government collecting the taxes for Rome. And then what they would do is they would collect the taxes, give that to the nation, to the empire. They could add additional tax however much they wanted. They had the backing of the Roman government for them, and then they could pocket any extra that they took. And so they made their living really by ripping off their countrymen. The people would come, they owed this much in taxes, and they would say, actually, it's this much would go to the nation, and this much would go to them. And that was Zacchaeus' profession. And he's unique in the Bible because he's the only one that is a chief. So we meet other tax collectors that maybe worked a booth or a street or whatever it was. But this guy was the top dog in this region. He was chief tax collector. And we're told specifically he was rich. And so he had made his money ripping off his country, the Roman government. And with all of this stuff, it's led him clearly to loneliness. We're told there in verse 7 that everyone around complained about it. That Jesus said, I'm going to Zacchaeus' house, and they all complain. How are you going to go to the house of Zacchaeus? This guy, are you serious? And it seems as if this guy was lonely, and his lifestyle led him to a lot of stuff to share it with. But all of that, whatever was going on in his life, whatever led him to this moment, it did lead him to Jesus, and their interaction, which led to hospitality, changed everything. And I'm sure many of us can relate to this idea of loneliness. Maybe just for a day we've been there, like we're just bored. Everybody's had like that bored day, but how many of you know that boredom often leads to stupid decisions? So we should try not to be bored for too long. Some rest and Sabbath and relaxing. Boredom is dangerous. And we've been there. Others of us, maybe we feel alone in a group of people because there's areas of our life that we've never actually talked about with anybody. There's thoughts that we've had, or there's things that we've done that are sort of kept down, and we feel so isolated even around people because nobody knows about it. And then there's others of us that, frankly, we're just alone. We live alone, we don't work or whatever it might be, and we can just say, yeah, I'm lonely. Whatever the case, no matter how much we've experienced or little, I think there's truth in this text for all of us, and Jesus provides a cure for loneliness. The first thing is to be seen. The first thing that we see in this text, a cure for loneliness, is to be seen. Notice the story begins with Zacchaeus making an effort to find Jesus. Zacchaeus says that he sought to see who Jesus was. And this idea of sought to see literally means to strive after, means to look intensely. It's the difference between the way my wife looks for something and the way I look. Like, I'm like, hey, babe, did you see this shirt? And she's like, did you look in the drawer? And I'm like, yeah, of course I looked in the drawer. That's the first place I looked. And then she's like, you mean this shirt that was in the drawer that you just said you looked in? This shirt? This the one you were talking about? I'm like, yeah, I guess I missed it. I thought I looked there. You know what I mean? Like, we look, but I wasn't really looking. I'm like, notorious for that. This idea of Zacchaeus looking, seeking to see Jesus wasn't just like, yeah, I glanced and I didn't see anything. But it was its intensity, its determination. He's seeking to see Jesus. Now, also notice, he didn't come to just catch a glimpse of Jesus. He came to actually see who we was, is what the wording is. He came to see who Jesus was. And we see how desperate he is when he climbs a tree to see Jesus, right? Like, I mean, that's pretty desperate. Now, we know the story. Like, if you grew up in Sunday school, like, it's a funny story. Ha ha, Zacchaeus, man, see what he could see. Like, you know, there's a whole song in a little bit. But the funny thing about it is not that it's a small guy climbing a tree. The funny thing is that it's a grown man climbing a tree. Like, he was small, but he was full. He was an adult man with a job and a bunch of money and a life, and he's up in a tree. That's not normal, right? You, like, take the kids to the park, and you walk by, and you're walking by a tree, and you're like, is that an adult? Okay, kids, we're out of here. Adult in the tree, that's weird. But this guy, Zacchaeus, I'm sure you go back then, it was still weird for grown men to climb trees. And this guy, so desperate to see Jesus, to experience Jesus, is willing to do something kind of ridiculous in order to see Jesus and not just catch a glimpse of him. He didn't show up thinking like, I wonder what color hair Jesus has. Climb the tree, see it. Okay, I got it. And now I'm going to go. But literally to show up, he was. See what he was like. To see what his heart was like, what he was about. Perhaps he had even heard that Jesus was known for eating with tax collectors. There's other stories where Jesus had already, and maybe he's like, I don't know, I heard about this guy that was willing to even eat with guys like me, and I want to find out if this is true. I want to see who Jesus is. And many people, I think, settle to see Jesus or just be around him, but this type of healing that we're looking for can only be found when we experience Jesus for ourselves. It wasn't enough for him to just catch a glimpse or to hear about another tax collector that had had a meal with Jesus. But rather, he wanted to find out for himself who Jesus was. He was seeking. It was intensity. It was focus. He wanted to learn, what is this Jesus about? I pray all of us come to that point at least some point in our life where we say, I want to know for myself what Jesus is about. What is he like? What is he involved in? And so Zacchaeus saw, but also notice, and I think the key to this story is that Jesus also saw Zacchaeus. That Zacchaeus came and he's like, I heard about Jesus. There's a crowd. I want to see him. I show up. I'm going to climb the tree. I'm going to look down. There's Jesus. And then we're told that Jesus is with this crowd of people doing something, whether he was preaching, maybe performing miracles, I don't know. But he's walking and he stops and he looks up and he notices Zacchaeus. A pretty interesting scenario if you're the crowd of people. Right? Here comes Jesus. He's doing all these things. He's performing miracles. He's teaching, whatever it is. And then he stops and he's like, hey, Zacchaeus, I'm coming over to your house. Get down from there. I'm like, wait, what? I was talking with Nick just after the last service, and he told me that a few years back they went on a mission trip to India. And while they were there, they got to go to different villages there in India. And when heading there, word of them coming, small villages had spread quickly. And so when they would arrive in these villages, most of the village would come out to greet them. And it was like a big party and celebration. They would put necklaces on them. At one time he said they rode in on oxen into the village. Like, it was this crazy situation. And he said at the end of the procession, at the end of the party, they would go to one of the leaders in that village house for food. This was what was normally happening in their culture. Jesus shows up, there's a big crowd of people, they're all celebrating Jesus is here, and perhaps even wondering, like, I wonder where he's going to eat tonight. And then there's Zacchaeus up in a tree, looking down, and Jesus says, I see you come down. I'm coming to your house for dinner. And it shows us that Jesus sees the individual in the midst of this crowd. It makes me think of another situation where Jesus is, again, because when Jesus is somewhere, it seems like people want to find out what he's like, what he's doing. Jesus attracts a crowd. And he's there in the crowd of people. And we're told of a woman who was sick and had tried everything to find healing. She's gone to doctors, she's tried that diet, she tried essential oil, she's done it all. And then she shows up to Jesus and she thinks, if I could just grab the shirt of Jesus, if I could just grab onto him, then I believe that I'd be healed. Now it's interesting because Jesus hadn't done anything like that before. It wasn't like Jesus rolled out a new tour and it's like the shirt touching tour. And like this, for this leg of the ministry, anybody that grabs my jacket, they'll be healed. Like that's the, no. This woman, by faith, thought if I could just grab onto him, I believe there's something about him that could change my life. And so she goes up to Jesus, and then Jesus stops in the crowd of people, and she goes, somebody touched me. And the disciples said, yeah, we're in a crowd of people. That's what happens when you're in a crowd of people. People bump you. They touch you. And he says, no, I wasn't bumped. He says, literally, I felt power come from me. And then he turns to the woman. He sees her. He stops what he's doing in the crowd of people. He sees her, and he says, your faith has made you well. All of this to say, Jesus, in the crowd of people, sees an individual like Zacchaeus that was seeking something from him. She knew that Jesus had the healing that she was looking for. And the same, Zacchaeus knew that Jesus had something that he was looking for. Zacchaeus sees Jesus, but Jesus notices Zacchaeus. And there's power in just understanding and realizing that Jesus sees you wherever you're at. The Bible says that God is near to those with a broken heart. That God doesn't even let a tear fall from our eyes without seeing it. There's poetic language that says he catches them in a bottle. That God sees it. God knows us. He understands where we're at. Jesus, he sees you. We need to understand that. And that he recognizes that Zacchaeus needs something. But then it doesn't stop there. It doesn't just say, oh, Zacchaeus, I see you up there. The next thing, my favorite thing, a practice that I think we should all begin to do, Jesus over for dinner, right? He's like, all right, Zacchaeus, get down. I'm coming over for dinner. I'm going to start doing that. Hey, after service, what we got for lunch today? Right? That's pretty crazy. Jesus invites himself over for dinner, and it goes from just being seen by Jesus, and now they have relationship. Second thought, the cure for loneliness is that there is relationship. One of the things I find unique that it shows us a reality that most people want to be known and people want to be needed. People want to be known and people want to be needed. What I mean is that there's something about us, I think, as human beings where we want to be seen and acknowledged, at least to some degree. I mean, the introvert in all of us would be like, yeah, let me avoid conversations altogether. But all of us want to at least be acknowledged. You know what I mean? Like, at least the classic, like, how you doing? Like, you see somebody that you kind of know out in public, and you do, like, the... You know what I'm talking about? You guys do that, too? You're just like, don't want to stop and have a conversation, but you know that they know that you saw them. And so you have to do, like, the... classic little awkward wave. But we want to be acknowledged. We want to be seen. We want to be recognized. We want people to notice us. We don't want to live our whole life without ever being noticed, without ever being seen, without ever being acknowledged. It's something as human beings we want, but we also want to be needed. And what I mean by that is we want to feel like we can contribute to something, that the part that we play matters and that we have something significant to bring to the table. And what happens here in this text, Zacchaeus shows up, he sees Jesus, no doubt wanting something from Jesus, whether it's a friend, whether it's just forgiveness, maybe it's guilt for all the things he had done. He showed up wanting something from Jesus, and Jesus gets something from him. He says, Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house for dinner. You thought that you were just going to come here and get something from me, but I'm actually going to come to your house and you're going to provide for me. And what happens is there's actual relationship that takes place. It isn't just, I need something from you, but rather we're going to do this idea together. And he was eager, Zacchaeus was eager to have Jesus over. And although Zacchaeus went looking to get something from Jesus, Jesus was blessed by Zacchaeus. There's partnership here. And perhaps some of us were missing out on what we could be experiencing in Jesus because we're looking only for what we can get from him rather than what we can do with him. And so much of the Christian walk and so much of this idea of faith and being a follower of Jesus is walking with him, relationship. You know, religion is doing something to earn favor from God, or religion is trying to get something from God. Relationship says, I'm going to walk with God. That there's this idea, there's friendship, there's relationship with God. And so Zacchaeus has Jesus over to his house. He's eager, he's excited to do it. And then, classic, the crowd is shocked, right? Jesus said, from there, we gotta go to your house. We're having dinner. And then everybody gasped. They're going over to his house. That's the house he's choosing to go to, the house of a sinner. Dun, 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 right? Like, going to the house of a sinner. And people are shocked. But Jesus, he addresses people's shock. He doesn't ignore it. He addresses it. And he tells them that this is the exact reason why he came. Look there at the end, verse 10. Jesus speaking, he says, man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. He's saying, this is the reason I'm here. This verse is Jesus' mission for his ministry. To seek and to save that which is lost. And that's exactly what's happening. People, somebody that was lost, somebody that was confused, somebody that was missing out on what God had for him, he was lost. Jesus came for people to realize that they can have forgiveness and restoration and relationship with God. That this is his mission. Now, if you had been with Jesus, if you've been walking with Jesus, perhaps heard him teaching, maybe you're one of the 12, or maybe you're fast forward and the Gospel of Luke is written and you're hearing the Gospel of Luke read to you, when this phrase was said, the Son of Man has come, your ears would perk up a little bit. And the reason for that was because they were primarily and have like the Bible app or Bibles readily available. Most likely when they would gather for church, it would be somebody just reciting the scripture, reading it or reciting it through. And when something was repeated, you knew it was important. That's the same is true today, right? Somebody repeats something, it's like, oh man, they said this four times, maybe I should pay attention. When something's repeated, you know it's important. This is the second time in Luke's gospel that this phrase, the Son of Man has come, is said. Now, Jesus would say the Son of Man, or call himself the Son of Man, throughout Luke's gospel. But specifically, the Son of Man has come only one other time. Turn with me, if you would, to Luke chapter 7. Just a couple pages. Luke 7. And notice it says, Luke 7 verse 33. Jesus is speaking. He says, for John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine. And you say, he has... We know John the Baptist, he was kind of a strange character that lived out in the wilderness, ate bugs and wild honey, and kind of did his own thing. And they're like, this guy's nuts, he has a demon. And then he says, the Son of Man has come. There it is. So if you were hearing the other one, you would immediately be drawn back to this one. The Son of Man has come, he says, eating and drinking. And you say, look, a glutton and a wine bibber, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. And then he says, but wisdom is by all her children. And then in Luke's gospel, he would transition into verse 36, and he would basically tell a story to illustrate this exact idea. And the story would go on. We're not going to read it now, but it's a story where Jesus goes over to a Pharisee's house for dinner. He's there having this meal with the Pharisee, and all of a sudden, a woman that is a known sinner, most scholars believe she would be a prostitute, interrupts the dinner. She begins to cry at the feet of Jesus, wiping his feet with her tears, kissing his feet, and anointing his head with oil. And then this strange situation happens. If you want to hear about it, I preached on it two Saturday nights ago. It's on the website. Super interesting, but I'm not going to talk about it now. All I'm saying is that it illustrates this idea in verse 34 that the Son of Man has come eating and drinking. So if Jesus' mission, the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost, that's his mission. His method could be said, his method was He came to seek and save the lost, and the way he did it primarily is through this idea of eating and drinking. And really, the idea of eating and drinking is not just about the food, but about what happens around the table, about the conversations that take place, about the questions that are asked and answered.
Listening to Middle Ground Radio with Pastor Nate Gallagher. Thanks for tuning in. We pray that this message has brought you closer in your relationship with Christ. If you'd like to hear more of Pastor Nate's teaching, check us out online at middlegroundradio.com. And if you'd like to keep up with all that's going on, follow us on Instagram at Middle Ground Radio. Be blessed, and we hope to see you next time here on Middle Ground Radio.